All right. Hey, everybody. Good morning. I'm Mike, lead pastor here at Experience Church. I want to welcome all of you. If you're joining us for the first time today, we're in week three of our series, Radioactive, and we've been taking a look at becoming radioactive, at affecting those that we come into contact with, spilling out into the world around us, and becoming people who influence our surroundings instead of being influenced by our surroundings. The first week we talked about being radioactive with acceptance, and we took a look at a couple of stories in the Bible, a story about a lost coin and a lost sheep, and what that all meant to us, and how Jesus was telling us that people are valuable, that all people are valuable, and that we need to look at them in that fashion, just like he did. Second week, we talked about love and being radioactive with love. We talked about a greedy farmer, a guy who thought only about getting and never about giving. And when we're consumed with getting, well, then we never give. And when we don't give, we're unable to show love like Jesus did. If you missed either of those 2 weeks, I highly encourage you to go online, go to our Facebook page, go to our website, experiencethechurch.com, click the little listen tab, and listen to those and catch up. Throughout this series, we're going to go through five values that Jesus talked about, five values that he taught that have the ability to change our lives, and not just our lives, but everyone that we come in contact with. And it's a big deal. These are super important things because they were important to Jesus. If we make these five things a part of our life, well, if we put them into practice, our lives will never be the same. So I'm super excited to get going this week, but before we do, will you guys bow your heads and pray with me? Father God, I just thank you so much. I thank you so much for your grace, your love, your acceptance, your forgiveness. And God, I pray that each and every one of us would experience that in some way. Lord, that you would change our lives, that nobody would leave here the same as they walk in. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So, have any of you ever been hurt by somebody? Anybody? Anybody had a hurt in your life? Somebody has done something that it was like, oh, really? Yeah? Like three of you? Come on. If you're honest with yourself, I got to guess that anybody who hears this would say yes. I've been hurt by someone at some point in time, whether physically, emotionally, spiritually. Somebody has done something that hurt me. Whether intended or not, I've been hurt in my life. But let me ask this question. Have you ever done something kind for the person who hurt you? And now to that one, we might not get the same amount of yeses. Yeah? It's a little more difficult when it comes that way. Well, today we're going to take a look at a story that Jesus told about a guy who was hurt really bad, who was to the point where he was going to die. But something happened. Something happened that gave that man a second chance. So let me set this up a little bit first. Jesus has been walking around through the countryside. He's been doing his worldly ministry. And he's been walking around talking to people and telling people things that the religious leaders of the day don't like. You see, the religious leaders of the day were all about rules and regulations and laws and do this and don't do that. And here Jesus is walking around, and he's telling people that you need to love God and you need to love other people. And that's not jiving with what the religious people are saying. And it's certainly not jiving with what they're living, okay? And so they don't like Jesus a whole lot. They think he's a rebel. They're constantly trying to trip him up, to get him in a position where they can put him away, where they can get rid of him. They don't like people questioning their religiosity, all right? And so they're constantly out to get him. And today, we're going to pick up, again, in one of the four Gospels, one of those first four books of the New Testament in your Bible that cover the story of Jesus' life. And we're going to be looking at the book of Luke, chapter 10. Don't worry if you don't have a Bible with you. It's up on the screen this morning. If you don't own a Bible of your own and you're here this morning, or the Bible you have at home is something that's all dusty and musty and moldy and in some language that you can't read, please grab one off the chair and take it home with you. We want you to do that. Also, if you have a smartphone, go to your app store and download the free Bible app from YouVersion. It says the Holy Bible on it is absolutely free, and it's great, and you can have it with you all the time. So we're picking up in Luke chapter 10. It'll be up on the screen so you can follow along. Starting in verse 25, and it says this, "An expert of the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher, what must I do to get life forever?' Jesus said, 'What is written in the law? What do you read there?' The man answered, 'Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. Also, love your neighbor as yourself.' Jesus said to him, 'Your answer is right. Do this and you will live.' But the man, wanting to show the importance of his question, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus answered, 'As a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, some robbers attacked him. They tore off his clothes, they beat him, and they left him laying there almost dead. It happened that a priest was going down the road, and when he saw the man, he walked by on the other side. Next, a Levite," this is a guy who would have helped the Jewish priests do their work in the temple, "next, a Levite came there, and after, he went over and actually looked down at the man, and then he walked by on the other side of the road also. Then a Samaritan is traveling down the road and came to where the hurt man was." Now let's stop for a second and let's talk about the Samaritans and what that really was, okay? The Samaritans were a group of people who lived very near to the Jews in Jerusalem. And in fact, they were of the same heritage. They were partially of the same heritage. But they were watered down as far as the Jews were concerned, and so they didn't recognize them as one of them. In fact, they not only didn't recognize them, but they hated each other. They couldn't stand to be in the same place. They went around and they looked to try and hurt one another. Samaritans and Jews had fought for a very long time, all right? And so it's not looking good for this hurt man. I mean, two people have already passed him by, men of God, men of his same heritage, Jewish men, men of faith. And here the Samaritan shows up, and really odds are pretty good that this guy should have just picked up a rock and thrown it down on his head and walked on. I mean, that's the kind of relationship that Jews and Samaritans have. But we'll pick up in verse 33, and it says, "When he saw the man, he felt very sorry for him. The Samaritan went to him, poured olive oil and wine on his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he put the hurt man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he cared for him. The next day, the Samaritan brought out two coins. One coin was the average pay for a day's work. He gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of this man. If you spend more money on him, I will pay it back when I come back again.'" So not only did this Samaritan stop alongside of the road to help out the hurt man, he didn't just nurse the guy's wounds and bandage him up. He took care of him. He took him in and took care of him. And then he paid for his aftercare. He paid for continued care out of his own pocket. He didn't look at the guy as he was walking by and go, "Wow, I wonder what he did to deserve that." You guys ever seen somebody standing alongside of the road with a cardboard sign? "Can I change to spare? We'll work for food." Thought ever go through your head? "Wonder what they did to get there. Why don't they just go out and get a job? Why don't they do something?" And yet, here's a guy beaten on the side of the road from a place where these people actually hate each other. And he didn't look at him and say, "Wow, he probably deserved that. Or it's too bad somebody didn't kill him." No, he didn't look at him and say, "He must have deserved that." He didn't look at him and say, "I saw his Facebook status the other day, and I just don't agree with what he said, and I just can't help him. There's no way." That'd be like saying, "I agree with what he thinks and what he stands for." All right, well, maybe it didn't go like that. But instead, the Samaritan helped. He showed mercy. He showed compassion. He did what he would have wanted someone to do for him. And then Jesus said in verse 36, "Which one of these three men do you think was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the robbers?" The expert on the law answered, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Then go and do what he did." Jesus was trying to explain how God wants us to treat each other. even when people don't like us. When the Samaritan saw that hurt man, he felt bad, it says. He felt sorry for him. He saw him as another human being, not as somebody from a race or a tribe or a creed or a color that he didn't agree with. He felt bad. And then, he could have just felt bad and walked on, but he didn't. He did something more. Now, he could have said a prayer when he walked by, "Oh God, send someone to help him." But that's not what he did. He could have picked up his cell phone and called somebody else and said, "Hey, there's somebody on the side of the road. You need to come and help." All right, he didn't have a cell phone, or at least the service was really bad where he was. But instead of feeling bad, instead of praying for someone else to come and help, instead of asking someone else to come and help, the Samaritan did something. Something to make a bad situation better for someone who may or may not have deserved it. He showed grace. Remember, the Jews and Samaritans, they don't like one another. They had their differences. And we don't know any of this guy's story from before he ended up on the side of the road, before he was beaten. We don't know anything about his life. I mean, this guy could have been scum of the earth. This guy could have been a guy who beat his wife. He could have been a father who neglected his children. He could have been an employee who screwed his boss over. He could have been a man who was downright mean to Samaritans in general, that killed everyone that he came by. He could have been any of those things. We don't know why it is that he was attacked by robbers. And I think that Jesus did that very intentionally to show us that it didn't matter. It didn't matter what that man had done beforehand. It didn't matter what happened before he got beat up that day. Jesus wanted us to focus on what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to treat someone else how we would like to be treated. And then do that. Get out and focus on our part of the solution. We can change the world by choosing to give grace. Instead of holding on to anger and unforgiveness and bitterness and judgment, we can change the world around us by showing grace. Now, you can know all the right things to do, but grace is where it all comes alive. You see, either you give it or you don't. You can think about it. You can wish things would get better. You can pray about it. You can ask for somebody else to come along. You can pray somebody will take the place and do this. Somebody needs to do something about that. You ever been there? You see something going on and you're like, somebody needs to do something about that. You got to do something about that. When the religious leader was asking, who was the neighbor to the beaten man? Or Jesus asked, who was the neighbor to the beaten man? He was asking, who stepped up to the plate? Who did something? Who did something that I would do? Guys, you know what? I am so blessed to be a part of this church. And God just blows my mind each and every week when I hear stories from you guys, when people send me emails and talk about the things that are going on in their life and how God is changing your lives. And I'm so blessed to be a part of this. And my wife and I, when we felt God was telling us to come and plant a church, to start a new church in a community where we didn't know anybody, we knew that we were going to come and do something different. And the reason we were going to do that is because we knew what it felt like to be beaten. We knew what it was like to be outcast, to be different. We knew what it was like to feel lonely in the midst of a crowd. God wanted us to plant a church where anyone could come and experience the love of Jesus Christ. But in order to be a place like that, we have got to show a lot of grace. And I'm glad that you guys are choosing to do that. That you guys have made this place a place where ex-spouses can come and sit in the room and worship God together. Where people can be in the room who don't like each other and can get by their differences and worship God together. Where people can actually be in a place where somebody who has hurt them and worship God alongside of them. You guys are choosing grace. You guys are stepping up. And you are doing something that is amazing. And God is blessing us as a church because of it, because he continues to send more people our way to experience that same thing. And that's what we are always going to do. We are always going to give grace freely. We are always going to choose grace over anger, bitterness, revenge, resentment, judgment. And if you can't do that, if you're not all down with that, then I got to help you find another church, because we're not going to change that. Seriously, if we're going to go around and hurt others with our words and our actions, our intentions, then we're no better than the two religious men who walked right on by the guy on the side of the road. We are going to be people who give people what they don't deserve, not what they do deserve, because that's what Jesus did for us. And if it was important enough for Jesus to die for, then it needs to be important enough for us to hold tightly to that value as a church. Jesus wants us to care more about the people that nobody wants to be around than the people who don't want to be around them. Because if we don't do that, who will? Who will be around the people who are hurting or have hurt people in their life? Who will bring them change of any kind if they never know who the change bringer is? And the only one who brings real change is Jesus Christ. How is anybody going to hear about Jesus if we can't show the grace and love of Christ to those around us that we contact day in and day out? How will they experience Jesus in a real way? I had somebody actually talk to me this morning and had an encounter with their family in the past week. And you know how some of us, our encounters with our family are kind of a love-hate kind of thing. You know, we love our families and sometimes we hate to be around them. And the guy said to me, he said, "I wish I never would have known about how I was supposed to respond. Because then I could have just kept doing what I was always doing. And I could have just stayed away. But now I've got to show grace. I've got to accept them. I've got to love them. I don't have to agree with them. I get that. But I've got to reflect the love of Jesus." Now, you know what, guys? That doesn't mean that you're never going to get mad. It doesn't mean that you're never going to be upset with things or with one another. It doesn't mean that at times you're not even going to act things out and screw up. What it means is that you're going to choose to get back to what Jesus wants you to do, and you're going to choose grace. And choosing grace is hard because that's not normal. It's not normal. It's hard. But we're going to choose that because that's going to make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the life of everyone that we come into contact with. And what would things look like if each and every one of us were radioactive with grace? What if that was spilling out of us? If that was getting all over everybody? If you come by with a Geiger counter and go, oh my gosh, there's grace everywhere. Can you imagine how that could change everything? Can you imagine what the world would be like if we treated everybody how we wanted to be treated? If we gave everybody what they didn't deserve? Can you imagine doing something for someone else that you wish someone would do for you? That's what Jesus did for us. Romans chapter 5, starting verse 6 says this: Christ arrives right on time to make this happen. He didn't and doesn't wait for us to get ready. He presented himself for this sacrificial death when we were far too weak and rebellious to do anything to get ourselves ready. And even if we hadn't been so weak, we wouldn't have known what to do anyway. We can understand someone dying for a person worth dying for, and we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put his love on the line for us by offering his son in sacrificial death while we were of no use whatsoever to him. That's grace. We can offer God absolutely nothing. And in spite of that, he loves us so much that he wants to be around us, and he gave Jesus to us as a way that we can be around him. You see, it doesn't matter what you've done or what you're currently doing. It doesn't matter if you're lying, stealing, gossiping, screaming at your kids, keeping a hurtful secret, abusing somebody, surfing porn, cutting, doing drugs, drinking too much, making fun of somebody, having an affair, being jealous of what someone else has, wishing harm on someone else, walking out on a loved one. It doesn't matter what you have done. That can all change. But the only place that that's going to change is through the change bringer. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says this: everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. Who's included in everyone? That's right. It's all of us. Everyone. It doesn't exclude anyone. We have all fallen short of God's perfection. Everyone has sinned, everyone has screwed up, everyone has made mistakes, everyone is guilty. In God's eyes, we have all been guilty. But here's the coolest part. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, it says this: those who are in Christ Jesus are not judged guilty. How cool is that? How cool is that? You did something, whether you meant to do it or not, that wound up hurting your family, your friends, your boss, your marriage, someone in your life, yourself. Maybe you've hurt so many people or hurt so many times that you're not worth saving or not worth forgiving, that you've started to believe it. But let me tell you this right here, right now, that is not true. And God will never stop believing in you. He will never stop pursuing you because he wants to see you become all that he has created you to be. He believes in you right here, right now. He believes in you, and he has always believed in you. He doesn't focus on what you've done or what you're doing. He can see what you're supposed to be. He can see the greatness and potential and possibilities in you because he created you, and he knows who you are. He knows the very depth of your heart, and he knows that there's nothing that you can hide from him. God knows you better than you know yourself, and in spite of that, he's crazy about you. He loves you right where you're at, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want to see you stay that way. He wants to see you become all that he has planned for you. And you were created for so much more. He wants to help you through your life, through the good times, through the bad times. He doesn't want to see you struggle or hurt. He wants to help. He wants to bear that burden for you. He's right there, but he's not going to force himself on you. You got to let him in. You've got to let him come close. You've got to decide. Now, I know that some of you guys are here today and you don't believe in this whole Jesus thing and all of this forgiveness stuff. And it's like, I'm not sure about that. And I just want you to know that as a church, we are so thankful that you are here. And this is a great place to come and ask questions. And it's okay to doubt and it's okay not to be sure. That's okay. We just want you to keep hanging out and looking for more answers. Now, some of you are here this morning and you have never accepted the gift of grace and forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers us. That you've been going through life trying to do things on your own, and you've been running and fighting, trying to get it right, trying to be good enough. And maybe you're sitting here this morning and you're finally tired of trying. Finally tired of trying to be good enough and get it all right. I got good news for you. You don't need to get it all right. Jesus is right there to do that for us. You need to start by receiving the forgiveness that he has for us, the love and the grace that he died for, that set us right with God. And so if you have never received that forgiveness, I want to give you that opportunity this morning. If that's you this morning, and you're in this room, you're listening, I'd just like everybody to bow their heads, close their eyes. And if you're sitting here and God is speaking to you this morning and saying, come on, come on. You know you've tried to do this on your own long enough. It's time to give in. It's time to give up. It's time to receive what I have for you. Then I want you to just pray with me right now in your chair. You can pray quietly. Jesus hears your heart. And just say, Jesus, I need your grace. I need you to forgive me. And I believe, because it's not by anything we do, but by our belief. I believe, Jesus, that your death and resurrection covers all of my sin, makes me not guilty in the eyes of God. I don't know how that works, but I want you to work in my life. Change me. Use my life. Make a difference. Help my life matter, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you prayed with me this morning, first of all, welcome to the family of God. That's a big deal. That is an awesome thing. And maybe you're not sure what all that means. I want you to check the box on the back of your connection card that says, hey, I made a first-time commitment to Jesus this morning. And then on your way out of here, stop by the Experience More table downstairs, and we've got a gift for you that is going to talk to you more about, okay, what now? So I believe this. What do I do with that? Well, what do I do with that? It'll be down in that gift, book and a card that goes along with that. So for those of you who consider yourselves Christ followers, I want to ask you this. How are you showing grace to others in your life? What would your spouse say? What would your boss say? What would your ex say? What would your friend say? Your son, your daughter, your banker, a complete stranger on the side of the street, or maybe even an enemy. What would they say? There's a guy named Paul that started a whole bunch of churches way back in the very first group of churches. And he wrote a letter to a church in a place called Ephesus, okay? And so in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says this, I mean that you have been saved by grace through believing. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. It was not a result of your own efforts, so you can't brag about it. It's a gift, a free gift. If you call yourself a Christian, then you should live a life that shows mercy and kindness because you've experienced God's grace. Because you've gotten something for nothing. You've received a gift that was for nothing that you did or could ever do. It had to be because of what Jesus has done. You have been given freedom in Christ, and you did nothing to deserve it. In fact, you did everything not to deserve it. And yet, he gave something good to you. A price that none of us could pay. Romans chapter 11, verse 6 says this, and since it is through God's kindness, then it is not by their good works. For in that case, God's grace would not be what it really is, free and undeserved. You see, and that's what grace is. It's free and undeserved. How's your life showing God's kindness to those around you? Not those who are just easy to love, but those who don't want to be loved or who you don't want to love. Those who have hurt you. Those who hate you. How are you caring for your neighbor of every color, of every race, of every preference, of every faith, of every status? Vikings and Green Bay Packers fans alike. How are you caring for those around you that need grace? If you're here for the first time, we do something each week called the Weekly Challenge. At Experience Church, our mission is to expose people to Jesus Christ and then excite them to explore more, to move them closer to Him. And so each week, we challenge everybody to walk out what we talked about this morning, to put it into action. Now again, I can't be clear enough and say our forgiveness, our way to heaven does not come by anything we do. It's not a checkoff list that I've done enough good stuff. It's by the grace and gift of Jesus Christ. But in order to have a relationship with somebody, you've got to pay attention to it. You've got to put some time into it. You've got to do something. And in order to have a relationship with Jesus, you got to spend time. You got to spend time talking to Him. You got to spend time reading about Him, learning about Him, walking with Him, and reflecting Him to the world around you. So this week I want to challenge you guys to show grace, to pray for the people who have hurt you or you have hurt, people who have tried to hurt you. Pray for them. Pray for people who you might feel don't deserve grace. And ask God to help you, to soften your heart, to show you how to show that grace. And then finally, do something for someone that you wish someone would do for you. whatever that may be. Jesus wants his grace to change every single one of us, to change our lives. Because when it changes our lives, then it changes those around us. And when we give people what they don't deserve, when we show mercy, when we show love, when we do what's different, then people ask, why? Why would you do that for me? Why would you care? I'm not worth it. Don't answer, no, you're not, but okay? Show them that they are. Make them wonder. Reflect what Jesus did for each and every one of us. It's not about what someone else has done to you, but what you can do for someone else. Treat someone like you would want to be treated, okay? Will you guys all bow your heads and pray with me? And Father God, I just thank you so much for sending your son Jesus, for not giving us what we deserve, which is death, which is separation from you forever because we have fallen short. God, I pray that you would help us to be people who extend grace to those around us, to people who we feel are not deserving. God, change our hearts. Help us to live differently than the rest of the world. Help us to not be people who are thinking about revenge and how to get ahead and how to get a leg up and how to make others pay. Make us stand out by being different than that. I pray that this church would be full of people willing to make a difference by showing your amazing grace. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.